Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Lengths, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Chris!
Dan!
Hiya!
Hello, Lee!
Sorry, it's the joke list again.
No, we'll keep that one in.
Does that mean he's really my gimmick now?
No.
I was kind of looking for like...
That was pre-recording, I was more
going to go for like 90s Austin, but there we are.
You now have a catchphrase, congratulations.
Yes! Another week, some more news stories.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well for not doing a Formula One podcast before the pre-season testing.
Yeah, this is something like the fifth one that we've not done before the pre-season testing.
Which we are doing because there's news.
There's always news.
Yeah, we're going to get to the week before Australia and fuck it right off.
Oh, nothing will happen in Australia. There is news, I have the book.
You have the book which contains my writing, which might not be completely legible.
So that's sideways M, backwards 3.
I don't write Russian.
No, you did it very slowly.
Yes.
I was hoping for a better response from that one. Right, Pasta wants back into Formula 1 in 2017.
And we want him back in Formula 1 for 2017.
We'd like him for 2016 if anyone's listening and they've got a spare seat. And about 5,000 spare wings.
Between the four of us, we must have the budget for Manor.
No.
They've got money now.
What? No, they've got an engine. Doesn't necessarily mean money.
They've got an engine. They've got staff. They've got a driver.
Right.
They have picked up Mr. Pascal Wehrlein.
They have.
Hair Wehrlein. Receded.
Hair Wehrlein. I never thought about that. Hair Wehrlein. Yeah, Pascal Wehrlein's driving for Manor in 2016.
Sounds like something a man that was trying to woo a young lady in the Renaissance period. I have my Wehrlein.
Yeah, mein Wehrlein. Guten Abend, mein Wehrlein.
It's a medieval podcast.
Pascal Wehrlein.
Did he come free with an engine?
Yeah, yes. I think so. I think he probably did.
I think he might have came with some extra money in an engine. Mm.
Extra Mercedes-funded backing. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a few of Mercedes' trainee staff, perhaps, for the Formula One team or something along those lines.
We don't know any of that, do we?
Junior engineers, maybe.
No, but we're good at speculation.
Yeah, we are good at speculation.
Well, not good at getting it right.
Yeah. Hey, that's not the point.
Sometimes we're spot on, which we'll get to that a bit later on. But yeah, probably junior engineers, junior mechanics. There's probably some sort of program that Mercedes.
Yeah, but what if they listen to the Active Manor mechanics? Mercedes could go and just ruin a whole load of young mechanics without realising.
But then Mercedes will find themselves 2.5 seconds off the pace in 2017.
go in and see Danny, who was like bang on. He was looking to be a future race engineer. Mm. Walk into the Manor garage and he's sucking a spanner.
Careful now.
No, Pasta's gone. They're not going there.
Yeah. So, do we do Manor or do we do Pasta first?
Well, we've sort of done the two as one.
The two
we?
Together. Because as everyone knows, Pasta Maldonado has sadly not taken the Renault seat this year, and
it's not so much not taken the Renault seat as been unceremoniously thrown out of it,
and it's not sadly really, if we're perfectly honest.
Well, I don't know, it gives us one less feature.
Oh yeah, it's not good for us, but yeah. I mean, like, as far as the rest of the world outside of this room,
yeah, Formula One wins, we lose.
Yeah, Pasta Maldonado is good for the entertainment factor, as you know, just discussed then. We had a feature based on Pasta Maldonado. When would he crash or retire from the race?
Successful feature.
It was a very successful feature, but now it's been ruined because Pasta is not in Formula 1 for 2016.
But he wants to come back for 2017.
Without a sponsor, how is that going to happen?
On driving ability.
Well, has he lost his sponsor? Do we know that?
No, they just won't pay for it.
They haven't paid.
Which is pretty much the same as losing your sponsor, because what a sponsor's supposed to do is have their name across your chest and give you money.
I wonder whether, because...
Right, well, bear it in mind, when he started in Formula One, he was sponsored by an oil company.
Yeah.
And he was getting $30 million a year in sponsorship from that oil company, which was going direct to the team. Back then, when he started in Formula One, the price of oil was around about $30 million a barrel. Mm-hmm. Now the price of oil is about 3p for 20 barrels, yeah. Although you wouldn't notice it every time you go fill your car up. So they would have to sell something like on an actual serious point, they would actually have to sell something like 10 times the amount of oil
to
raise that kind of money to pay for him.
Yeah, but the thing is, they've all, in the past, been pretty backwards at coming forward to paying up when it's come to, you know, when it's come to bill time. So
yeah.
I wonder, like, when Renault took over Lotus, they even turned around and said, oh, well, yeah, but he signed with Lotus, not Renault. And, you know, there was a bit of hooing and hollering. So I wonder whether the oil company just haven't paid up, thinking, we'll do it next month, it'll be fine. And Renault have used that as an excuse to get rid of Pastor because they didn't want him.
Now, you've got to think as well that the Venezuelan economy is not going particularly well at the moment.
Because it's oil-based.
Yeah, but you tend to find in these situations, though, even if the country's not doing particularly bad, the people with the money are usually still okay.
Yeah,
so
but I mean,
if they want to drive
it's the Venezuelan government that own this company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, so at what point is do you look at Pastor Maldonado and his, let's be honest, his...
patchy
record. Yeah, patchy record, and think, this man who drives in Formula One is giving us all of the money we need, all of the exposure we need, and he's doing very well upholding our reputation as an excellent oil company.
But the thing, I mean, it's a backwards thing anyway, because no one's
well,
ever...
Right, but that's the way it usually ended up facing.
Well, no. Wait a second, right? If I say to you, PDVSA,
yeah.
What do you think of instantly?
Like a really badly spelt word.
Yeah.
Pastor's done shunted Verstappen again.
Yeah. It's Pastor Maldonado.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter whether... No one's ever seen an oil company on the side of a car and thought, I must buy oil from that company. And no one's ever seen that, like, Malaysia, when it was written on the side of the... was it Marussia had Malaysia written on it?
Something had Visit Malaysia on, didn't
yeah.
it?
But when
yeah.
That, yeah.
Sheffield United.
But Sheffield no, United no one's gone.
Yeah. No, Cardiff.
I must go there. Because they've seen it written on the side of a car.
Yeah. If, I mean, who looks at a Sauber with a Chelsea badge on it and goes, I will now support Chelsea Football Club because Sauber have got their badge on it.
To be honest, if you're daft enough to have Sauber as your favourite team in F1, you deserve to support Chelsea.
So, the marketing opportunities there for Will Stevens are immense, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, no, that'd be West Ham.
Oh, right, okay.
Or Millwall.
Millwall, Leighton Orient, something decidedly more East London than West London.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Yorkshireman, so anything south of Sheffield are all Cockneys.
Yeah, I thought the twats looked the same, but there you go.
Well, Cockneys, yeah. Braces and chimney sweeps and taxi drivers.
But anyway, he's looking more like Won't Stevens this year.
He is. Oh, Won't Stevens.
That was so smooth you could have used PDVSA oil as a lubricant. See?
Wait a second, I've just come up with an idea.
No!
Is this
hooray!
Why
so
Sweden's
day already?
Why don't PDVSA give us money that they were going to give to Pastor Maldonado, and we'll show how we can use it better than Pastor Maldonado used it?
What we could crash any F1 cars.
We could pop over to Venezuela, come back and tell people what a lovely country Venezuela is.
Everybody visit Venezuela.com.
It sounds more like a certification, doesn't it? Like my company is PDVSA.
I passed my PDVSA.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it sounds like a certificate.
Yeah. That's great. I am now certified to change rotating flusset gussets or something.
Either that or that's what all crash test dummies have to pass.
Do you think it's the name, like it's the letters that you get at the end of your name when you've been
OBE, MBE, PDVSA.
When you've been a Venezuelan politician. Pastor Maldonado at PDVSA.
We're wasting Dan's seamless link into Walt Stevens.
We're also wasting the half an hour Dan's going to be able to stay awake for.
Won't Stevens.
Yes, so we've mentioned the hiring of Pascal Wehrlein already.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is no confirmed second driver yet. There are talks of having three second drivers.
Three second drivers?
Which coincidentally is exactly what they're going to be off the pace.
Well, they were last year. I don't think they will be this year.
So these three second drivers, or however they're going to put it, it's going to be Will Stevens,
Alexander Rossi,
and Rio Haryanto.
Yes.
Which were the three that were battling it out for the one place last week, so they might well split it between them.
So in the same way as Roberto Merhi and Alex Rossi split the seat this year.
Sorry, Alexander Rossi.
Alexander Rossi, yes.
Sorry, Mr. Rossi.
Is it going to be a case of who brings in the most sponsorship gets the race that weekend?
Possibly. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. Like, are they going to get all three drivers to pay all of their money and then fairly...
It sounds to me like none of the drivers have enough sponsorship to pay for the whole season.
Yeah, so like, what I'm saying is if Rossi's probably going to come up with some money, Haryanto's going to come up with some money, and Will Stevens is going to come up with some money.
They'll all do their home Grand Prix.
They'll do their home Grand Prix, yeah. And they'll do a portion of whatever they've paid. So Will Stevens is, let's say, $10 million that he manages to put forward. Might get him seven races maybe.
Well, I think Will Stevens was paying something like $200,000 a race last season.
Right. So if he gets $10 million in and he can do seven races, for example, third of the season, yeah. 7 of the 21. Haryanto manages to put in, with thanks from the Indonesian government, a lot more than Will Stevens, and ends up doing 11 races.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves the remaining 5 for Rossi to do, or however many. I didn't really do very much maths there. Sorry,
four.
Thank you. The remaining 4 for Alex Rossi to do, and he only has to come up with that amount of money, or it will work something like that, I would imagine.
You'd think though that Rossi would be either the most or the least favoured choice. Most because he's got experience of the car and the team. Least because he's not coming with an engine this year, because they had the Ferrari engine last year, and of course Rossi is on the Ferrari development programme.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So either they like him and they want to keep him on, or have Ferrari binned him off?
I'm starting to enjoy this, you know, the fact that if you're, whichever team has you in their hand, if they can't manage to get you into another team with the same engine, a la Stoffel Van Dorn.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a real bad thing for Formula One.
Yeah, so yeah, I can't disagree.
Because if you're in Formula One, your management should be, their main priority should be getting you in a Formula One car, the most competitive Formula One car they can get you in, not the most competitive Renault or the most competitive Ferrari.
Agreed.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. But for the team that owns the driver that goes into a car that's powered by a different engine to the one that is powering the team that owns him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to act? Do you act like a spy in the camp?
I don't know exactly what a fucking driver could do, to be perfectly honest. You know,
Neither does Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, no, but you've got engines which are completely sealed units, and I would imagine a Formula One driver, if I'm perfectly honest, especially a young Formula One driver. The closest thing they've got is some sort of tinkering around with their car when they were 6. You know,
Sebastian Vettel will hang around with the engineers well after hours and work out what they're doing, because
he's done that over the course of years.
Yeah, but I mean, there is stuff that the drivers can learn, because I know it's completely different eras, but Senna would do the same. Senna would sit with his engineers well into hours of darkness, trying to understand every single little thing about the car he was going to drive.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to just get in and go, well, there's the power, and I press my foot on this and it goes fast.
I don't think it's quite as clear cut as hanging around to learn what's going on with the car.
Yeah,
I don't think that's actually why the drivers do it, or if it's really that important. I think what it does is it galvanizes a team around you and makes the team think you're one of the boys rather than the posh lad that comes in, gets in the car and drives it.
Well, yeah, and then says thanks, Jeff, at the end of the.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Lewis.
As Jim stood there going, my name's Jim, man.
Yeah, 2 years. Lewis finishes the race, thanks to the mechanics, and then buggers off to the recording studio.
4 world championships with one Seb. Just remember my name.
I even followed you from Red Bull to Ferrari. I thought I'd recognised you.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Alfa Romeo. Not a name we've heard in Formula One for quite some time.
Nope,
not since the 80s.
Not since the abortive engine for, I think they tried to build Team Italy or Scuderia Italia or something.
Was that back Alfa Romeo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, they had slightly more success with the Brabham cars,
mm-hmm.
going a little bit further back. But the head of Fiat Group, Sergio Marchionne, how's my pronunciation sounding?
I think it's pretty good.
That'll do. Sergio Marchionne wants the Alfa Mark back in F1. Didn't we talk about this a while back?
Yes, yeah. Because Lee, Hawkeye Stevens over there,
spotted... It just means he's a sarcastic surgeon.
Yeah. spotted the Alfa Romeo logo on the side of Sebastian Vettel's Formula One car way back in, was it Japan?
I can't remember, it was a while ago.
It was towards the end of the season anyway. There was a prominent Alfa Romeo logo on the side, the rear of the side pod of last year's Ferrari. Only appeared towards the back end of the season, and I'm just wondering if this has any bearing on trying to point Alfa Romeo in a direction. In his interview with, I think it was, and I may be wrong here, I think it was Gazzetta dello Sport.
Probably was.
He said that Alfa Romeo wouldn't have to rely on Ferrari to create their own team. They are good enough to build their own chassis, and good enough to build their own engines. And they would probably run in conjunction with Ferrari, but they wouldn't need their help.
No.
If we were looking at a new engine manufacturer coming in, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I want to see more actual engine manufacturers, road-going car manufacturers, involved in the sport. I want to see BMW back in the sport.
I
want to see Toyota back in. Maybe not throwing quite so much money in as they did last time, but I want to see Toyota back in the sport.
No, come in, throw a load of money in it. Just don't throw it at my Gascoigne.
I want to see Ford back in it as well. I want to see, maybe have some of the American guys have a bit of a go at it. Not just a Haas Formula One team, but,
get a Chevrolet in there.
Yeah, why not? Give him a good go. I actually think it would benefit the sport for having more, not just engine manufacturers, but manufacturer-based teams. I think that should be the way the sport probably should go.
Yeah.
Have independent teams as well, but works teams, you know what I mean? So.
It did almost get to that point a few years ago, but then we had the BMW and Toyota withdrawals.
Yeah, and Honda.
And Honda were going to... Honda... two attempts at it.
When you think about it, in a different universe somewhere, far, far away, I think if BMW hadn't gone up their own arses and bought Sauber, Williams might have ended up being a world champion with BMW engines in them at some point.
Yeah,
possibly. Well, it looked likely because they were starting to get successful with BMW.
Onto it was second, wasn't he? Second 1 year in it?
Yeah.
2004, I think that was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they were on the verge and then they decided to go and buy their own team.
Yeah.
Talking of, I do that a lot. While we're on the subject of manufacturers that own teams, launch season. Ferrari are going effectively first because we can't really count the Renault one because nothing new came out of that apart from the name.
No, it was a disappointing launch, and it was...
It wasn't a launch, it was a fucking press event, wasn't it?
It was a press event, but it wasn't even a launch of anything. It wasn't a launch of a livery on an old car. It was last year's Lotus with some new stickers on it.
Our invite must have got lost in the post.
Yeah, must have done. If anybody from Renault Sport Formula 1 is listening, especially the media team... We would like an invite to your formal launch.
Or your casual launch.
Or your casual launch.
Or semi-cash. I don't mind.
Or lunch.
Jeans and a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, or lunch.
The Jeremy Clarkson launch.
Just a casual lunch. I'd be fine with that.
Or a coffee, we're really lonely.
Yeah.
just validate us. We just need somebody else to validate us with what we're doing.
But yeah, Ferrari are going first this Friday, and it's going to be the car, and it's going to be the new livery. And the pictures that allegedly have leaked so far. It looks good.
Does look good. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going back to having white on it, which Luca de Montezemolo wanted rid of after the fun and games of the early 90s.
Yeah, I remember it was in 93.
Yeah, because that was what was slowing the car down.
Yeah, the 90, yeah, the white paint.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact that Gerhard Berger was usually pissed.
No.
No.
Because white paint's harder to polish. Apparently. But I remember it was very prominently sponsored by Marlboro, and the car from the side pods up was predominantly white. Sort of the airbox area where the engine's housed was predominantly white with Marlboro written across it, and there's just a very, very small red flash. And I remember thinking, that's a good looking Ferrari, way back then, 20 something years ago. And now they've actually decided to bring back a bit more white.
Yeah, it looks. The only way to describe it is modern retro.
Yeah,
from what we've seen.
Yeah, that's a good explanation.
I'll try and link to the image on the page. Obviously, if you're listening to this after Friday, you've already seen it, and we are probably completely and utterly wrong.
Yeah.
But hey, conjecture, it's what we do.
Yeah, no white at all. Look at that blue Ferrari.
So yeah, they are going first before the start of the test next Monday. We've got some other teams launching on Monday. Toro Rosso are launching the car, but not the livery, at the weekend.
So are they doing what Red Bull did at testing last year, where they were just going to have
unlike
this
Lotus that launched the driver. Carry on.
What?
They launched Pasta, didn't they?
Oh. He's doing his owl impression again. throw me train of thought off completely now. The camouflage Red Bull.
Yeah, that was it last year?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. That was that.
And we all thought, oh, that looks ace. I hope they're going to race that. And then they came
out. Well, Lewis Hamilton looked sick, man.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, if you did look at it for too long, you started to feel a little bit sick.
Yeah, I thought it looked fucking ace, that.
A lot of swirly lines.
Lewis Hamilton has been sick this week.
Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pumped out some damn sick tunes.
No, he's been ill.
Oh, right, okay. Oh,
what, ill?
Yeah. Ill in an area.
No, wait, hang on. Let me... He's been rather unwell with a fever, for the flavour. he has been rather unwell. I don't know what Mercedes' testing schedule's like for early next week. What's the betting that Lewis Hamilton does not turn up?
Is this Lewis Hamilton is unwell or Lewis Hamilton is unwell? I'm doing air quotes, by the way.
Air quotes. He posted on Snapchat.
Is he throwing up, or is he, what's the best way to describe it, pranging his mother's car?
Yeah, no, he
that's even prangism.
Whoa.
Never prang your mother's car. He
just seems like the older lady.
He Snapchatted his millions of followers with a picture of a thermometer that showed a temperature of 39.1 degrees, which is a high fever.
Which is what happens when you stir your tea with your thermometer.
Well, it's a cold cup of tea.
That's with
I would send that
Toto
right
Wolf,
back.
Toto Wolf stood outside the door, go, can I come in, Lewis? No, not yet. Not yet.
Oh, yeah, I'm really ill. Lewis, your temperature says here is 86 degrees and falling. What have you done to yourself? Why have you ruined yourself over the winter? I told you to stay away from the schnapps. That's all mine.
Oh, we've missed your impressions.
Was that an impression?
One of it.
That was Toto Wolff. You just missed him. He was here, and then now he's just gone again.
Exclusive interview.
Yeah. We will have Toto Wolff live on this podcast at some point.
He said that's not the last time we'll be here. He will be back.
He did actually say that. Yeah.
Talking of doubtful things.
Doubtful.
On the subject of doubtful. The Italian Grand Prix is in doubt for next year.
At Monza.
2017, at Monza. Back to Imola?
Well, there was contractual...
wranglings?
Wranglings, yeah, that's a good word. Contractual wranglings over the Italian Grand Prix. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before. And Monza were like, hey, it's okay. We got that, we got that a deal. Because that's how everybody in Monza speaks.
But wasn't there a couple of them? actually, my run-in with someone at Monza was when I fell over into the gravel there, and the doctor didn't say anything; just stood there and picked gravel out of my arm.
Oh, that's nice of him. Mm. Yeah,
probably took one look at you, thought, yeah, drummer.
I know. I think it was because everyone was emptying out as well. I'd fell over. I made quite a mess of my arm actually, and you could see him walking towards me, like there was blood running down my arm. I'd cut it that badly, and. He had that look on his face that goes, you fucking moron, I was out of here.
I've just put my medikit away.
Oh, you've never seen someone use so much of that. What's the horrible stingy stuff?
Iodine.
Oh my God. I used about 2.5 gallons of it. I was screaming.
Yeah, no surprise. But no, there was contractual wranglings over Monza, either last year or the year before, and Imola popped their heads in and went, we're available, we haven't had a race here since 2005, but we've redone the circuit and we're ready to go. And as I believe the FIA actually sent an inspection team to Imola and everything.
Did it pass?
I think so. I think it passed for Formula One regulations, because they have redone the circuit since the last time there.
Must have moved to change some of the gravel traps then and put runoff areas in and...
Mm. Yeah, the last thing I saw racing at Imola was, and Dan probably watched this as well, last year's Giro d'Italia. They had a stage round Imola.
How many laps?
They did 2 laps of the shortened circuit.
How many died?
It's cycling, they're all on drugs.
Oh, right.
But yeah, just randomly, the middle of a stage in the Giro. It wasn't the end of a stage or anything. They just diverted them through the circuit for a couple of...
I can't see that there'd be no Italian Grand Prix with the Ferrari contingent. There's also lots of Italian interest in general in Formula One.
Do you think that Ferrari would allow it to collapse in on itself to a certain extent?
Well, Mercedes allowed the German
in order to turn around and say, well, if we can't have it at Imola, we can't have it at Monza, let's all go to our test circuit in Mugello.
Well, funnily enough, that was the third option.
Marinara.
Well, Mugello is the other option.
Is it?
Yes. Where they
is that have... Ferrari owned?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think it is.
Maranello is Ferrari, yeah. The Fiorano test circuit. Mm.
But yeah, they're talking about Mugello as a possible option. Now, that is mainly set up for bikes. Surely. Mm.
It is, but it's...
there's some narrow sections on there.
The problem...
Narrow, and it's narrow, it's twisty, and it's very...
Then again, so's Baku.
It's uphill and downhill.
And so's Baku.
I've seen the pictures of Baku.
Did you hear that we had turn 8 and 9 through the cobbled streets?
Yes.
Baku, yes. That's going to be interesting.
For those of us local to here, it looks kind of like Peel.
Yeah.
Or Castle Rushen.
Yeah,
yes.
That we go past the police station in Castletown.
Yeah.
No, you used to talk on cobbled streets and castles. All I saw was safety cars when I looked at that picture.
Bert and Schneider wins.
There's a reason that Pastor Maldonado isn't doing this year.
Yeah, it's a listed building. They don't want it to list any further. I did that one last week. You missed it, you weren't here.
That's a good one. That's why I laughed.
That's a change. What else have we got? Now, Chris, you said something very interesting about Rosberg's contract.
Yes, Toto Wolff has... I should have asked him before when he was here. But he said, basically...
Oh, he's just come back in.
No, he hasn't.
But he said he'd be back.
He said he'd be back, but he meant, like, some other time. not today. That's just someone who looks a bit like him. He's nowhere near as tall. Yes.
You can tell there's not a lot of massive news this week, and we are just padding like a sofa factory.
Nico Rosberg has not been offered a contract extension beyond the end of 2016.
Well, he might have been, but it might have been in the Prem with the rest of the toys.
Yeah, but it's normally been agreed upon that they will present him a contract at some point. The sound
that's usually the way that people staying in teams go.
Yeah, yeah. The soundbite that he gave was that he's not going to make any decisions on any contracts until he's seen the first half of 2016. Now, whether you read into that he's waiting to see Nico's performance,
mm-hmm.
Whether or not he manages to, keep up the momentum from the end of 2015 into 2016 and wins the first few races, has quite a sizable lead in the championship by halfway point, or is he trying to manage the driver situation, knowing full well that the team are probably going to hold on to Lewis Hamilton long term?
Well, isn't
he 10 years if you believe his dad?
Isn't he till the end of 2017? That's when it's
2018, I think.
End of 2018.
I think so.
Right.
And I might have that wrong, but I think it's the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right.
And is he looking to see how the situation manages itself with drivers? Because he has mentioned before that the current relationship, or the relationship that as it was at the end of 2015, cannot continue.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to.
I would assume that it's more to do with the relationship than performance.
I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Mercedes would be perfectly happy with Rosberg doing as well as he did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not being a div about it.
Yeah. If there was no
issues.
You can't
have everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. But, I mean, Rosberg, to my eyes, is going to have a Lewis Hamilton style year to hold on to his seat. And
yeah.
Otherwise, I think we're going to find Nico Rosberg out of the Mercedes team.
Yeah.
And then the questions are raised as to who do you replace him with? We've already mentioned Pascal Wehrlein getting his first taste of Formula One. It'll be interesting to see how well he does.
This is the problem with Manor, though. I don't really think we'll get a gauge for it.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because Toto seems to think that Manor will be fighting for midfield places.
Well, yeah. If Toto's correct, then yeah.
The fact that Toto supplied Manor with an engine and a driver, I think that Manor will be fighting for midfield places, or they will not get any more support from us.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah. But here's a, allow me to conspiracy theorize here.
Break out the tinfoil.
If you're Lewis Hamilton, it's quite clear that any real relationship between those drivers has broken down now to a point where it's been unmanageable at times. Now, if you're Hamilton, do you have a little thought in the back of your head going, if I'm like an extra knob and I really sort of go out of my
way
wind
him up.
To wind him up, so to where he starts becoming Nico the knob, I've got a 2-year contract. That's they will get rid of him to keep peace within the team.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And because if there's one thing I've realised about Lewis over the last 2 years is he is a much cleverer man than I've ever given him credit for.
He can play the mind game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I never saw that in him before.
But this also depends greatly on how close any other teams are to Mercedes, if Mercedes are, in fact, the dominant team.
Mm.
If Mercedes are not the dominant team, and they're at least fighting with Ferrari, as we expect them to be, and there may be one, two other teams in the mix there as well, when the pressure is actually on the team, and the drivers are not cooperating in a relationship which benefits the team, that could have massively detrimental effects to the team's chances of a third consecutive Constructors' Championship. Mm. Really are going to have to look after themselves with that as well.
Yeah.
The team will always look after themselves before they look after their drivers. That's just the way that things go.
There's also another thing to think about with Nico here as well, is that when you look at the races that Nico's won, and he's won really strongly, he's one of those drivers that seems to be at his best when he's not under pressure. When he's out the front and he can just bang lap times in, fast lap times all
the
time.
He's very similar to Damon Hill.
Yeah, and I was going to say Sebastian Vettel in Red Bull days. I'd say Vettel's a bit more steely now than he used to be.
Yeah, Vettel in his very early days, sort of first championship, was very good, not being under pressure. When the pressure was on, he did wobble a little bit, but he's learned how to deal with that.
Yeah.
Damon Hill, under pressure, not so great.
Yeah.
Damon Hill out front, 20 laps ahead of everyone else.
Brilliant
driver.
Yeah.
Couldn't fault him at all whatsoever.
But if you've got, say, Ferrari's there, and hopefully McLaren's there, do you think that might lead to Nico starting to fall back slightly?
Not necessarily. It's easier to race against the Ferraris and McLarens than it is to race against Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, of course it is. Well, because it was easier last year. We don't know whether it's going to be quite as easy to race against the Ferraris this year.
Imagine a scenario where Mercedes find themselves in third position.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about performance.
Oh, you mean you're not worried about
psychologically?
Your
teammate,
you
can race, you can give it everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine the scenario where Mercedes find themselves in third position after the first few races. They've been completely outraced by Ferrari and another team, let's say McLaren.
Imagine a world where there was no Mercedes on the podium in Australia.
Exactly. This is what could potentially.
It's easy if you try.
Only Vettel below us.
Well, I'll watch it on Sky.
With sincere apologies to John Lennon.
Oh dear.
Oh, that was all going so serious up to that point.
It was.
Sorry, so we're picturing
a scenario where Mercedes find themselves in third position. And the team really have to pull together to ensure that they are fighting for wins, not necessarily a championship, but they've got to make sure they're fighting for wins to put themselves within a chance of fighting for the championship later in the season. So let's say you've got Ferrari win the first three races, McLaren win a couple of races. It might not be McLaren, it could be Williams, it could be anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg have the relationship now where they can be like, right, we need to work together and we need to beat those cars ahead of us. How do we do this? And what have we got to do to make sure that we do? I don't think they do.
Yeah, because it's going to have to be one of us goes out front, the other one, really make your car wide, I need a wingman.
Yeah.
And
I can't see them
they
doing it.
Just don't have that relationship.
Unless they've spent all of the off season actually working on that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. Yeah, I'm sure they
I think
plans.
To get Nico Rosberg to help Lewis Hamilton, you'd need some sort of CIA MK Ultra style training. you need a trigger word or something.
That is your tinfoiliest tinfoil moment yet.
Paddy Lowe, Toto Wolff, and Niki Lauda would all have to sit the two drivers down in the room together and be like, this is happening. And if you don't comply, you are out before the end of the season, if not at the end of the season.
Now, I think this may very well be why Nico hasn't seen a contract yet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he does go, do you look at to replace him? Because the three drivers that have been talked about in the media are Pascal Wehrlein down at Manor, Max Verstappen, depending on his difficult second season, because let's be honest, lots of Formula One drivers have had difficult second seasons, and Daniel Ricciardo, who is at Red Bull, I think contracted until 2018.
Either that or Alonso finally gets his mitts on a Mercedes.
Aged 14.
Which would turn it rubbish.
Yeah, Alonso goes to Mercedes, Mercedes collapse. Mercedes sell their team to
Skoda.
Skoda.
Headed up by
Mike Gascoigne.
with what's his name? The pro drive guy.
Dave Richards. Yeah, Dave Richards at the helm, and Mike Gascoigne is technical director.
And the Irish guy from BBC. Jordan. No,
the Top Gear presenter.
Yeah. No, not the Top Gear presenter. The other guy.
Gary Anderson.
Yeah, as the chief designer.
Yeah. Yeah, because he knows so much about designing cars.
Mm.
that he tells people how they should be doing it on television.
Well, not anymore, because the BBC got rid of him, didn't they?
Did the BBC get rid of him because he's so opinionated and annoying?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch a BBC race at all last season because the ones that I watched the season before had Mike Gascoigne being, not Mike, Gary Anderson being opinionated and annoying. Yeah.
Even with taking my McLaren tinted spectacles off, he bloody hates McLaren. Every moment he gets a chance of knocking that team or do it.
Did they turn him down for a job or something?
I've often wondered whether there's something going on like that.
Has he got beef with Ron?
Well, him and the rest of the world, maybe. Maybe he's particularly friendly with
You wouldn't accept beef from Ron, though, would you? Sit down at my table and enjoy a nice roast beef dinner.
Is this really beef, Ron?
Yeah.
I've not seen Eric Boulier around for a while.
I am concerned. Tell me, how do you like your steak? I like mine well done.
So, yeah, who would they get in? I would think Danny Rick would be a good choice, but...
I think they won't go for someone who is...
When it comes down to driving skill, however, he is a number one driver.
I don't think they'll go for someone who thinks they are in with a shot right now of getting a world championship.
Yeah, they'll go with someone younger.
They'll go with a number two driver, Pascal Wehrlein.
Yeah.
Because whoever, if they do get rid of Nico, whoever they get in, he's going to be the bitch.
Just
has to be.
I know this might come across as sound a bit
stupid. Get Barrichello out of retirement.
Yeah, this might come across being a bit stupid given his name, but Pascal Wehrlein is German, isn't he?
Yes.
Right. So it would make sense for them to want a German in the team.
Yeah. I wonder if this has any bearing on a Mercedes reserve driver for 2016 as well, because Pascal Wehrlein was 2015 reserve driver for Mercedes. With him being at Manor, I don't know if an active Formula 1 driver can then be a reserve driver for another team. I don't know how that works.
No, but... I think if you're a reserve driver, you can be called up. But if... there is previous...
Pedro De La Rosa.
Luca Badoa did a full season for Minardi while he was Ferrari's reserve driver.
Mm. Marc Genet.
Marc
Jean.
Yeah.
What a great driver he was. Just take a moment to remember the genius of... Oh, no, wait. No,
we're done that.
I can't remember who it was, but when he came in to fill for Ferrari, and Ferrari said something like he's been a loyal... a loyal employee for years, you know, and it's a reward to him to give him the drive when we've been able to. I can't remember if it was Martin Brundle or something like that. I said, why didn't they just give him a Ferrari road car? That's a reward.
Yeah, he was bloody useless.
I said it before on the podcast. I saw him in Belgium come round the corner I was sat on backwards.
Well, you should have been facing the right way.
Well, that's drivers that would replace Nico Rosberg. But the other interesting question is, where would Nico Rosberg go?
Who'd have him?
Who would have him? I think if you're looking at top teams, you might be looking at a potential Jenson Button retirement. Would he go to McLaren? I don't think so.
McLaren would have him.
No.
He wouldn't go anywhere where... He wouldn't go to McLaren if Alonso was still there and Button had retired, because he would instantly be the number two driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would be a case of his ego wouldn't let him do that again.
Yeah. And you've got
Renault, I think, would be the most realistic choice, because he'd want to go to a works drive. You know, he spent that long in Mercedes, now he'd want to go to another manufacturer.
Well, depends how terrible Renault are this year. I've got a theory that Renault are going to be probably at the
Renault,
back.
Yeah, but Renault will win world championships again. I think they will. I think it's silly to think that they won't. And let's face it, even in that team that Renault are now this year have won championships in the past.
Yeah.
Mm. And I don't expect them to have a good year this year. I do expect them to have a good year in 2017.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I think this year you'll see I think Sauber will be the whipping boys. I think they'll be right at the back. And it's
Think Sauber's on its way out. I think they're looking very much like that team which is on the bubble.
Yeah, I think
could it be that Alfa Romeo end up buying it now?
Could well be. Yeah.
Well, I think you're looking at Sauber being at the back, which is a real shame for Ericsson and NASA, because you know, they've proved their quite steely resolve during 2015.
Not that we saw a lot of them on TV.
No, we didn't. They were very anonymous, as we like to call them, the anonymous Saubers.
But then great drive in Australia from both of them.
All fantastic, yeah, absolutely incredible, given the season that they had before that. And then ahead of Sauber, you're probably going to have Renault, because they just haven't had. Yeah, it's the same team, but they just haven't had the time to implement Renault thinking and Renault's way of doing things. And all right, okay, a lot of the stuff is still going to be.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, but they didn't come in as Renault when they got the team last time and just straight away won a world championship. It took them a few seasons to get integrated before they were.
I can't see them being that far back.
I can't.
Well, the Renault engine is allegedly the worst engine on the grid for 2016.
But that's only what Christian Horner says.
Yeah.
It's also kind of what Renault have alluded to with it being, this is going to be a very difficult season for us. We are going to have to be very humble.
You say that, but that's, you're talking about putting a really negative spin, saying they're the worst engine out of four on the grid. That's fine.
Yeah.
But in the same way as that, the Ferrari is the second best engine to Mercedes, or it was last year.
Yeah.
Still a fine engine.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, so yeah. I expect Renault to be where Lotus were last year. I think they'll be in exactly the same place.
With more finishes.
Yeah, trying to get into the top 10. Trying to get through into Q3. And if, probably not, but scoring points here and there, reasonably regularly. Not constant point scorers, but they'll be there. I think they'll be ahead of Haas.
I think they'll be around Toro Rosso.
I just want to say that more every team actually scores points.
Yeah, I think we might see that. I think Manor are going to score points with the backing they've got from Mercedes, and they do have this year's Mercedes engine, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 2016. No one's got 2017.
Yeah, but
2016 Mercedes engine.
They didn't have I know they had last year's Ferrari engine last year, but
But they also had 2014's car.
Yeah, but I mean, they've never. It's not like they've ever been like, you know, Tyrrell, for instance. Whenever you saw a Tyrrell, it always had a really good chassis. Tyrrell, you know, they had really good people within that team.
Yeah.
We've never said Manor can build a Formula One car; they just need a good engine. We've never said that.
We haven't.
They need their Harvey Postlethwaite.
Yeah, but they've put a lot, even if they just had some
of the Lego with the slopey bit on it, you know, so it was like, you know, it was like a semicircle, just because that would be better for trying to dig into air, you know, to get air to go over the car. But with the stickle bricks they've got, you know, it's not going anywhere.
I am looking forward to seeing what Manor do this season. I really am. I think they're going to. I actually think this is the first season they're going to push forward from the very back.
I think they'll still be last. I think they might be closer, but I don't think they're going to be much closer.
I think the pack is actually going to bunch up. So I think you're going to have Mercedes, Ferrari out front. If the rumours are to be believed, probably McLaren and Williams fighting for, and maybe Red Bull fighting for around sort of third place.
Mm-hmm.
And then teams behind that, you're going to have Force India, Toro Rosso, Renault, Haas. Manor probably Sauber right at the back, but it's going to be a real mix for that second half.
Yeah, I think it's going to be separated though, where you get your Ferrari, Mercedes, then a bit of a gap, then McLaren and Williams, then a slightly bigger gap, and then Red Bull, Haas, Renault, Toro Rosso, and then another gap.
Force India.
Force India.
Yeah.
Then another gap, and Sauber, then another gap, and Manor.
Really, you think it's going to be that bad?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Manor are going to be with.
I think Manor are going to be with the pack.
Worst with the back markers.
because
it's not going to be a repeat of this year.
No,
no, not at all. Nobody's been working on the 2016 car longer than Manor.
Yeah, but I don't believe they're going to build a better car than Sauber. Even with limited funds.
I don't think they have to. Think the backing that they've got from Mercedes straight away gives them an edge over Sauber straight away. Here, have this year's Mercedes engine.
What if Sauber got, engine-wise, have they got this year's Ferrari?
I think they've got last year's Ferrari, haven't they?
I think it's this year's Ferrari, but don't Ferrari use them as a bit of a test bed for the bits that work?
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes they fall off.
But I still say that whatever Ferrari put out this year, Sauber building a car with that Ferrari engine in it will still be better than a Mercedes with Manor building the car. Still stand by what I say there.
Be interesting
to wait and see.
Yeah.
It will be very interesting to see. But I really genuinely believe that the back half of the pack is going to be really... It's not going to be so spread out. It's going to be really bunched up, and you're going to see every team this year scoring points. Every single team.
As long as it's not, you know who is going out in Q1 again. Yeah. And everyone's actually fighting to get into Q2.
I don't think Manor are going to threaten Q2. Either.
We'll have to see.
Well, so, I mean, testing starts next Monday, and we should get some kind of idea over the next...
Watch them be 4 seconds ahead of faster than everybody.
Over the next couple of weeks.
But yeah. Alonso instantly gets himself in the second seat.
And then the car falls apart.
Yeah, it's just a fluke. No, we didn't put any fuel in it, Fernando.
You did take out that hand grenade, right? What? No, I took out the pin. Fernando!
Yeah. After that, Fernando's in the steering wheel punching something in the car. You go, what are you doing, Fernando? He said, the last time I did this in the McLaren, I got electrocuted. It's great.
I got like 3 weeks off.
What's this last thing you've written down? Renault haunt K-Mag forever.
Renault do love K-Mag forever. Because Renault actually think that Kevin Magnussen is going to be their world champion.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lee can elaborate more on this.
Well, there's not really much to elaborate on it. I think they're wrong. But
I have to agree with you. Misreading that article earlier was the best thing ever.
Oh, the article said that Kevin had a great race season 2 years ago in McLaren. I read it as Kevin had a great race in McLaren.
Just the one.
Just Australia. Last podium, was it? That would have been, like, was that McLaren's last podium?
Or did Button... I don't know if it was.
No, I think Button got...
Did he?
Another one or two during... 2014. I've not got a history book in front of me, and the internet's too far away.
But I'm happy to see him in, because I think he deserves to be there more than Pastor. I know we've said this a few times on the podcast, but to turn around and say I think he's a future world champion might be a little bit...
A bit premature,
yeah.
Even if it's correct.
It even struck me as odd as well, because thinking about it, I mean, it's quite obvious, but yeah, 2 years ago since he drove a race,
Well, he tried to drive one a year ago, but didn't exactly get to the grid.
But
that was more to do with the car than his talents.
Yeah.
He qualified.
Yeah.
He did qualify, and he was on his outlap when the car went kaboom. Spat metal all over the circuit.
So we're just looking at McLaren's last podiums.
Last podium. Bless you. Congratulations, Lee Stephen.
Australia.
March 26th, 2014, Australian F1 GP.
I don't really want to be right about that.
Oh, I thought they had done better in 2014. If I was standing, I'd stand corrected. That's about it for this week, isn't it?
I think so.
We will be back next week when we record coincides with the end of the first day of testing, so we'll have actual... things that have happened to talk about.
Actual things.
And then the week after, we will have actual racing cars doing actual laps, won't we, to talk about?
Well, we will next Monday, because that's when the first test starts.
Yes, I mean, so...
So, yeah, there'll be actual cars on actual tracks and actual drivers.
Can't wait. Just on a side note to our lovely listeners, we were talking earlier on about our position in the iTunes chart as being, I think the last episode was...
We got up to
number eight
in searches for Formula One,
yeah.
Which is good to say that we haven't actually had any ratings so far, bar one.
Yeah.
So if you've downloaded this on iTunes...
Yeah, please, give us a little review.
Yeah, give us a rating.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't like us, don't. I don't want you to lie, because that'd just be wrong. But if you could give us a little rating, and if you don't, you're a bit of a scumbag.
That's it, Lee. Alienate the listener.
No, they like it.
Oh, fair enough.
Keep them mean, treat them keen.
So, we'll be back this time. You better. Yeah, that's all I can say to that. They were just noises, not words. We'll be back in a week with a review of day one of testing.
Yes.
We'll see you soon.
Bye, darlings.
Bye.